We will now turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 81. And verse 10, Psalm 81 and verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Especially the end of the word, the end of the verse, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The psalm begins with the words to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Gittith perhaps refers to a musical instrument or a type of the performance, the way the psalm would be sung and the instruments used and so on. Of course, today we do not use instrumental music in the public worship, and I trust we know the reason for that. And that is because musical instruments were used in the temple worship. They were confined to temple worship. They were not used, for example, in synagogues. And so when the temple worship was abrogated and set aside, so were all those things that attended the worship. For example, all the sacrifices and the incense and the musical instruments. And so we don't use musical instruments in the public worship of God any more than we would offer sacrifices or incense in the public worship of God. These things, these ceremonies, the temple was pointing to Christ, and Christ has come and has set aside all of these ceremonies once and for all. But we are to offer the sacrifice of praise, even the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So that is why we sing with our lips and we do not use musical instruments. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph, and we do need order in the worship of God, and that's why we have a presenter to lead the praise of God, so that we can all sing the same tune in the right pitch and so on. And this psalm here was written by Asaph, a contemporary of David, and it was likely written for the time of the Passover. We're not told that specifically. Perhaps it was for another feast, but when we read in verse 3, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. This, the Passover, was the distinctive national feast of the Israelites. And here is an emphatic underlining of the feast, our solemn feast day. And indeed, the psalm speaks of Israel exiting Egypt and being redeemed symbolically. The Passover lamb was pointing to the redemption that Christ would purchase by his own blood. So there was Israel in a foreign land. We read in verse 5, this he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. And Joseph is put for Israel. Why? Because Joseph, the person Joseph, was very prominent in Egypt during the beginning of Israel's sojourn in the land of Egypt. And God fulfilled his promise to his people and delivered them from their bondage. He heard their cries and groans, and he came down to deliver them. And when he brought them out of Egypt, he tried them. He brought them through difficult circumstances. We read about the waters of Meribah, where he proved his people. Would they still follow him, even in the midst of trying circumstances? Will they still look to him to supply their needs and not go to their own resources, but trust in God to supply all that they need? And then we read about their time at Mount Sinai. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder, where the cloud hovered over Mount Sinai, and there were thunderings and so on, when the Ten Commandments were given. But it was not just the law that was revealed at Sinai and all the institutions of Moses. The gospel comes out, and the gospel comes through in the very preface of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And as you remember, the Catechism explains that because God is the Lord and our God and Redeemer, therefore we are bound to keep all his commandments. God has redeemed his people. Therefore they ought to keep his commandments. Therefore they want to keep his commandments. And so we have here in these verses from verse 8 to verse 10, perhaps we might say a summary of the precepts and promises of God to his people Israel. When we read in we'll just read verse 8 again. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. Why would the Lord's people want to worship another god when he has saved them from bondage? I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So here God is reminding the people what he has done for them. We may be inclined to look at these words in a very darkened, terrified way. But we need to see the gospel, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for his people in saving them from spiritual bondage. He is the Lord, he is the God of his people, he is the head and savior of his church, he has redeemed them from their foes, he has delivered them from their guilt, and therefore they should keep his commandments. Therefore they will love him and serve him. And here is nothing but liberty, nothing but what God's people are already convinced is right and what they already desire, that their whole life, as well as their heart, would be set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are motivated by the redemption that Christ purchased. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And so they should not worship another god, have no other master, but the Lord. And then we have a promise for those whom God has delivered from their bondage. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And indeed, we may say here is an invitation for everyone to lay hold of this promise, because all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. And so when God says to us here, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it, he's not just speaking 3,000 years ago to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. He's speaking to us today in the 21st century. He is making a promise to us, an invitation to lay hold upon his promise. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And with the Lord's help, we will consider first the condition of the promise. Open thy mouth wide. That's the condition. Open thy mouth wide. And then the promise itself, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's the promise, I will fill it. And thirdly, the application, first to the converted, and then to the unconverted. The application, how we may receive these words, and how they may be applied to us in our particular condition. So, first, the condition, and secondly, the promise, and thirdly, the application. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide. Here's the condition of receiving the promise. Here's the requirement. Here's a certain exercise of soul that the promise is made to. Will God fill the heathen with the riches of his treasures and spiritual blessing? Well, not if they continue to rebel. Will he satisfy the thief with good things? No, not when he continues to be a thief. The promise is made to those who open their mouth wide in the direction of God to receive blessing from Him. And so that's why we use the word condition. The condition of the promise is found in these words, open thy mouth wide. It's not a condition as if we earned it. If you put out your hand to receive a free gift, can you say, look, I've earned that free gift just because I've stretched out my hand to receive it. I have merited, I've earned it, I've won it. No, you just received it. So, on the other hand, if you kept your hands down and you didn't receive the gift, then you wouldn't get it. So the condition of getting the free gift is that you receive it. But that's not earning it. And so the condition of the promise is that we open our mouth wide that we might receive blessing from God. It's simply the instrument of receiving what we get from God. We get it by receiving it. We get it by faith. When we speak of spiritual blessings, we receive them by faith. Faith is the instrument of justification, is the instrument of salvation. We are justified by faith. We believe the promise. We receive Christ. We're saved. And so for all spiritual blessings and indeed all the promises of God, He is making the promise to those who open their mouth wide that He will fill it. Spiritual food is for the hungry. Those who receive the blessing are those who have a desire for it. If we don't have a mouth, then we'll never get that spiritual food. So open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. The mouth stands for receiving. It's through the mouth that we receive food. And so the mouth is a symbol of receiving. It also stands for the need and for the desire, for the receiving and for the readiness to receive. So when we think about these words, we're trying to understand what is behind these words, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. It's not speaking of the literal mouth, but figuratively. It's using a symbol to show us the need we have and the receiving of what we need. So think about that, the receiving. Spiritual blessing comes our way into our hearts by receiving it. The faith is the instrument of receiving Christ, receiving and resting on Christ alone for salvation. But when you think of the mouth being open, when a person opens their mouth with food set before them, it's because they're hungry. They need what's offered. So when we think about the mouth being open, we think about our need and those who feel their need. The stomach is empty. It's hungry. There's a great need that the stomach would be filled, and it comes through the mouth. So open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Do you feel your need of Christ? Do you see that you're a sinner? I'm asking everyone here in the congregation, do you see that you're a sinner? Do you see your need of Christ because you're a sinner? Do you see the reality of God's wrath and curse because of sin? That the wages of sin is death, that we deserve God's infinite wrath for our sins? Have we seen that? Do we therefore have a sense of need of deliverance from the wrath of God? We deserve to be punished, and we feel that it's right that God would punish our sins. Therefore, do we feel our need of a Savior to save us from our sins, to deliver us from God's wrath and curse by the precious blood of Christ? Do we see our need? Speaking about the mouth speaks of the need that we have of salvation. And then it's telling us about the desire. Not just that we have a need, but we feel our need and we want that need met. There's a desire. There's if the stomach is empty, the mouth is open, well, there's a desire to be fed, a desire to be filled. And so we need to ask ourselves, do we have a sense of a need that leads us to desire that need being met? Do we desire to have spiritual feeding? Do we desire Christ for our souls, to be fed with the bread of life? The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Do we feel our need of Christ? Do we desire Christ? We might suppose someone was hungry and felt empty, desired to be fed, but kept their mouth closed and looked this way and that, but wasn't looking at the table that the food was set upon. And so, those who have a mouth open are ready to eat. And so there's the need and the desire and the readiness to be filled. The open mouth is speaking about those who are hungry and desire to be fed and are ready to eat. Ready. They're looking for if the food's not on the table, they're looking for it to come. If the food is on the table, they're looking forward to the time that they can actually put it to their mouth. They're ready for it. So we have to ask ourselves, do we see our need of Christ? Do we desire Christ? Are we ready to receive Christ? Are we ready to receive the blessing? Do we desire it so much that we're expecting it? Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So for the mouth to be opened, and the mouth to be opened wide, there's a readiness, there is an earnest desire to have our spiritual needs met. And that's exactly what the Word of God is telling us we need, to have an earnest desire. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide. So there's an open mouth, but the open mouth is open wide. There was a dentist who perhaps had large hands, and he was dealing with someone who had a small mouth, and he had to get really deep inside and do the work on the teeth. And whenever he needed to get a little deeper inside, he would say, wide, wide. And that's what we're being directed to. Wide, wide, open thy mouth, wide. And it's speaking about what is large, what is widened. Literally, it is widen your mouth, enlarge your mouth. Let there be plenty of room in your mouth to take in what I am able to give you. And so when we think about what the mouth represents, receiving, it represents our need, it represents our desire, it represents readiness to receive. All of this should be intensified. The need, the desire, the readiness should be increased. There should be greater need, stronger desire, more earnest readiness. And so there should be the widening of the mouth spiritually by a greater sense of need. We should study our spiritual wants. People don't want to do that. They'd rather say, I'm rich and increased with goods and stand in need of nothing. That's what they would rather do, rather say, rather think. I have everything. I'm all right. You ask about how is so-and-so doing? Oh, he's good. I wish I was, the person might reply. How good are we doing? Are we consistent in keeping the commandments? Are we being useful? Are we feeling our great need? Because that's where it begins. We feel a great need of Christ and good from him as the spiritual bread. So we should recognize our spiritual needs, see them more clearly, see our sins more clearly. We're to confess our sins, not pretend they don't exist. Confess your sins. Rend the heart and not your garments. So see our sins. It's not to overwhelm us, not so that we can just hang our heads in our hands all day long and be tempted to say, what's the use? No. So that we can get a clearer view of our need of Christ and see the perfection of his provision. The more we see our own need, the more we will appreciate what God can give us. Think about that need we have. John Duncan, as he was known, Rabbi Duncan, said two things make prayer stinted. It hinders prayer. Two things. What are they? Little need. I don't feel my need. So I don't pray very well because I don't know what I need. I don't feel my need. That's why the prayer is only 1 minute long, because, well, I don't need anything. But if we studied our needs, our sins, our spiritual wants, and what we need from God spiritually, then we would have a stronger desire for those things. And then he says, so that was one, little need and little hope of supply. That was the other thing that John Duncan says make us hindered, stinted in prayer. Little need and little hope of supply. So if we think, well, we can't expect much from the Lord, well, then we will not pray much. We would think, well, why should I pray? Because God probably does not want to give me any blessing. So that will hinder prayer. Little hope. But two things make us enlarged in prayer, help us in our prayers, and that is, first, deep feeling of need, and enlarged and strong hope of supply. So if there's a stronger hope of God supplying us with what we need, there will be greater prayer, greater freedom and enlargement in prayer, more earnest prayer. So we should cherish our desires. We should long after Christ. We should tell ourselves, why are we so cold? Why is this? Are we so dull in our spirits? There should be stronger desire. Open thy mouth wide, let there be stronger desires for God's grace and for salvation. And there should be a more earnest readiness. There should be the opening of the mouth wide with earnest expectation. There's a hungry child, and the food is coming, and their mouth is open wide, ready to receive it. And that should be with us spiritually. There should be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. As the book of Proverbs tells us, if you lift up your voice for understanding, cry after knowledge, seek her as silver, then you will get these blessings from the Lord. When the mouth is open wide, God will fill it. When there is earnest prayer, and we're saying to God in our prayers, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to give up. People are telling me just stop praying, but I'm not going to stop praying. Doesn't mean that you're going to be praying 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours in the morning and you're late for work. Doesn't mean that, but you're not going to stop longing. Longing for God's grace. Longing for salvation. Until you get salvation, until you're assured that God has granted the answer to your prayer, and then you'll still keep praying. Never stop praying. So there should be this greater sense of need, stronger desire, more earnest readiness, until we're watching and waiting. We're like those who are looking for the sun to rise over the hills. Any moment the sun is going to appear. And that's the expectation we need spiritually. Open thy mouth wide, be ready to receive the blessing from the Lord. And we cannot think that our desires will increase without the Holy Spirit. These are spiritual blessings, spiritual exercises. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit. We're not denying that. We're to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit. Pray that God would enlarge our hearts and that he would increase our desires, showing us our needs, showing us his grace. That should be in our prayers just as much. But we're to use the means to increase that expectation. This promise, I will fill it, is made to a certain exercise of soul. And it's when the mouth of the soul is open wide that God will fill it with blessing. when the heart is enlarged, when there's a greater sense of need and stronger desire and more earnest expectation, when we're watching and waiting, that is when we can receive and expect to receive the blessing. And so in order to increase that expectation, we should meditate upon the promise itself. And that leads us to the promise. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Who is the one who makes this promise? The Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He is the Lord, or Jehovah. The word Lord in all capital letters is the name Jehovah. I am God, who is self-existent, unchangeable, and eternal, who is sovereign and free in his dealings with his people. He chooses to bless them, not because they deserve it, but because he has a purpose to do so, and he is glorified in their salvation. He is the Lord thy God. He has promised to be the God of his people, to keep covenant and mercy with them. He is true to his word. He is faithful to his promises. And all of this was evidenced in delivering his people from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So you see that he has proven his power to grant the blessing. He has the ability to fill our mouths. He has the power to supply all our needs. And he tells us that he is Jehovah. And here is an infinite supremacy. He is beyond any other source. Transcends every other power. It is only the God of Israel that can supply our spiritual needs, and he alone can redeem us from sin. Only he could set the people of Israel free, as he did in slaying the firstborn of Egypt and setting them free from Egyptian bondage and causing them to pass through the Red Sea on dry ground. Who else could do that but the Lord? And then swallowing up the enemy when the Red Sea enclosed upon them. So here is the proof of God's power to redeem his people and supply all their needs, as he did in the wilderness when he provided them with manna to feed perhaps 2 million people in the desert with bread that would not fail them, and the quails that descended from above upon them. And they were filled to overflowing with bread and flesh and with the water that came from the rock. And this is what he is bringing before us to strengthen our faith, to increase our expectation. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Who is speaking here? The Lord thy God, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt, the one who is your creator, the one who is infinite in power, the one who is able to do all things, and he is not limited in any way whatsoever. And the only way that the blessing is limited is because our limited capacity to receive it. But with God, all things are possible. God is able to do all things, and he is speaking to us that he will give us a blessing when we're ready to receive it. That's the only limitation. God's power is infinite and is beyond our ability to receive. And he's bringing before us this promise and his own name and his own works in order to help us have a larger desire for these blessings. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. So you're asking, how can my mouth be opened wider? How can I have a, a greater sense of need, a stronger desire, and greater expectation. Well, it is simply, when we're talking about the means and how that may be, what we may do in order to increase that desire and so on, is by focusing upon the name and power of God, who He is, what He has done, what He is able to do. You think about the miracles that Christ performed. He who is God manifest in the flesh. What He has done here in this world. You see, we have a greater position than Moses did, and even than David did, when we can see in the Word of God what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in performing miracles for His people, and providing from just a few loaves of bread provision for 5,000 people. And He is the one who cured the lepers. He is the one who raised the dead. So we have a wonderful, solid ground to rest upon to increase our expectation that what God has done, what Christ, who is God, has done in the past, He is able to do for us in the future. Not that He will feed 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread. Those miracles had their place at that time. But he will meet all of our spiritual expectations. He will give us what we need in an ordinary manner. That is His promise to those who trust in Him. And He is able to meet all our needs. He is able to supply all of our wants and what we lack, as He promises for both body and soul, temporal and spiritual blessings. In Psalm 84, verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." See, He is able. He is almighty. You think of the attributes of God, His infinite power, and the displays of that infinite power in providence, in the inspired record in the Word of God, and indeed in the Gospels, and indeed history, how God has helped His people time and time again. But not only is God able, not only is He almighty, but He is willing. Willing to fill our mouths. He is making this promise. So He's not only able to supply all our needs, but He is willing to supply all our needs. "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." You see how ready He is to assure us of His ability. And His readiness to assure us of His power to meet our need, is that not assuring us that He is willing? When He is so ready to assure us, it's showing that He is willing to meet our needs and supply them. He assures Gideon in Midian that he can conquer the Midianites with only 300 people. So he is able to conquer the foe with just a little bit of human resource. And yet Gideon was so desirous that God would be with him and assure him. And God was willing. God was willing to assure him. And you can read about that, how Gideon was directed to go to one of the tents of the Midianites and hear them talk about how God was going to use someone to conquer their whole army. So many times, many ways, God assures His people, Moses and Peter and many others, that He is willing to help them. He is able and willing, and He is patient as well. Even after the people murmured and complained, yes, He chastised them, but He did not give them up entirely. He came to the rescue again and again, many times. You see how long-suffering God is, willing to help His people, willing to help those who call upon Him. And He is Jehovah. He is sovereign in His dealings with sinners. He gives the command. He has the authority to give the command. He makes the promise. He has the sovereignty to make the promise and to show us how the promise will be enjoyed. "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Do not think to receive the blessing when you don't really desire it. It's when your mouth is open wide that I will fill it. So God is sovereign to give this command. But he's also sovereign in freely bestowing the gift. The Savior told the Jews, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." It's a gift. It is not for those who work for it. Again, when we hold out our hand to receive the free gift, we don't say, "Well, look what I've done. I have so much worth in my receiving the gift. I have earned this gift by just holding out my hand to receive it." No, we don't earn salvation by receiving it. And even when there's the fruits of salvation in repentance and fruitfulness and well-doing and keeping the commandments, that's not working for salvation. That's just the evidence that God has already worked in our hearts. Salvation is a free gift through and through. So it's freely received and freely given from God. And it's given indeed to those who have the open mouth. And that open mouth is God's free gift as well. So how we should be encouraged to pray for all that we need, including faith to receive it. God purposes to do so. He is willing, but he has a purpose that all those who have a desire, an increased desire, will receive the blessing. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What should faith rest upon? God's power, God's willingness, God's free gift, God's purpose to do so, and his names. Think about the names of God. We're thinking about what will strengthen faith, what will increase the desire and expectation. Think of the names of God. When Abraham was offering up Isaac at God's command, think of that. He was going to offer his own son, his own flesh and blood. But he didn't question what God was telling him to do. He was obedient. And yet God is merciful. So when Abraham was ready, he took the knife. He was about to slay his own son. The angel appeared and said, "Stay thy hand." And then we read that God provided a substitute for Isaac. And instead of Abraham offering up his own son Isaac, God provided the ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham offered up that ram instead. And it was God's provision. And we read that Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And in the margin, that means the Lord will see or provide. The Lord will provide. This is how God reveals himself, the one who looks upon his people. He knows their needs, and he will provide for them. The Lord will provide. And finally, think about how God is glorified in supplying our needs. "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." He is glorified in giving the blessing. He says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." And God will get a name and praise for himself when he delivers his people from their sins and satisfies all their spiritual needs, and for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Think of that. Think of the an example of a parent wanting to give a child a gift or some lollies, and the parent says, "Hold your hand out," and the child does it half-heartedly with a hand that's kind of loose and fingers open. If the gift was given, the lollies would fall into the ground. Hold out your hand, open it wide, and hold it together. Stretch it out. And that is what God is telling us. Open thy mouth wide. Stretch out your hand. Receive the blessing. And that brings us to the application. First for the converted and then for the unconverted. The application. We consider the condition, that is, open thy mouth wide, and then the promise, "And I will fill it." And how does it apply to ourselves? The Lord's people are a poor and afflicted people, and they feel sometimes like parched ground, like a shallow pond sun is scorching it, and the waters evaporate, and soon the pool has been reduced to nothing but mud, and the sun keeps scorching it, and then the mud begins to dry up and then to crack. And they look at that and say, that's me. I feel so dry and parched. But you see, in that condition, when the rain comes, what do you think is going to happen to the pool? It's going to swallow up the water, and it's going to soak it in fast. And so here, God's people are dry, and they're feeling their great need, and they're longing for deliverance. Well, perhaps we can think of that as an open mouth, opening the mouth wide, and God will fill it. We're brought to a wilderness condition sometimes spiritually so that we see our great need, who we are, and that we cannot replenish ourselves. We cannot supply our need on our own. And God brings us into the wilderness, but he also provides a table in the wilderness, and he shows us that he is able and willing and desires to meet our need, whatever it may be. As the psalmist says in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. When I was studying for the ministry in Scotland, there was an anecdote brought to my condition, and if I to my attention, and if I have the story right, there was a family in great need, and these were the days when poverty was almost common in Scotland. And this poor family woke up one morning and they didn't have a crumb in their cupboard. They didn't have anything to eat, but it was breakfast time, and the head of the home called for the bowls to be put on the table, the spoons and whatever, and everyone sit down. What would you do if you had nothing to eat in the morning? Well, this is what he did. He got everyone together, sit down. And then he began, Lord, here is our emptiness. With thee there is fullness. With us there is emptiness. Lord, here is our emptiness. Lord, where is thy fullness? And then there was a knock at the door, and someone had a provision of food and so on, and their need was met. Well, there was faith. There was expectation. They were brought to such a reduced strait and condition. They saw their need in black and white, and God met their need just like that. He is the hearer of prayer. The Lord knows what we need, and that's what the Lord Jesus says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. We should not be feeling guilty when we pray for our daily bread, when the Lord Jesus has taught us to pray for that. He knows what we need, and he knows that we need these things, and he will provide all that we need, temporal necessities. As we quoted at the prayer meeting, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 16, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. And here in Psalm 81, our psalm and our text, the context is that God promises for those who would open their mouth wide that he would feed them with the finest of the wheat, with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. So it's, I believe it's both pointing to the fact that they failed to open their mouth wide and they failed to receive the blessing, but it's still a promise. He's still promising to meet our needs. Here, finest of the wheat and honey out of the rock, perhaps is referring or is alluding to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 12, where we read, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, and so on. God did provide for his people, the Israelites, when they came into the promised land. He did give them the finest of the wheat. And these things are put for temporal necessities, honey and wheat, that they stand for all the temporal supplies that we need. But then again, the temporal necessities are standing for the spiritual necessities. So the one is like a symbol for the other. God promises wheat and honey. Well, that means he will provide all that we need in temporal things. But the promise for the supply of temporal needs is telling us that he will supply all our spiritual needs, all that we need, temporal and spiritual. And that's what Paul the Apostle is saying to believers. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And surely when we see the Lord providing our temporal needs, we should give him thanks for these things, and that should increase our expectation, not that we'll be rich in this world, but that he will give us all that we need for time and for eternity. So the Lord's people should think about their wants, their spiritual needs, to think about what God is able to give them: grace, sanctification, strength, fruitfulness, wisdom, the grace to be a good example and say the right thing at the right time, a word in season. All of these things are of him, of his grace, and it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so we should recognize our spiritual lack, our spiritual wants, and seek that the desires for those graces would be increased. Yes, we want grace to increase, but first of all, it begins with a renewed desire for that grace. Are we longing after grace? Oh, that the Lord would come and strengthen me, that he would give me more power to overcome sin. And those desires should be increased. Is there a child of God who's saying, I just want to be a little more holy? I just want a little more light, just a little bit. I just want a little more comfort. God is a great God. We should bring great petitions to him. We know that sanctification is by degrees. It's growing in grace. It doesn't take place all at once. But we should have larger desires, more earnest readiness to receive the blessing. Ye have not because ye ask not. And God is showing us that he is able to give all that we need, as Rabbi Duncan says, beyond our power to ask. There is an infinity of ability to bestow, because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So let there be an increased expectation that we will be watching and waiting. And when we are in that frame of mind, then we've already received half the answer to our prayers. When there is greater spirituality and more expectation, delight thyself in God, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. And remember that delays are not denials. God is only increasing our desire and our expectation. As someone said, that when there's a delay in the answer to our prayer, the supply of our need, it's like the stretching out of the sack. Stretching out the sack. The mouth of the sack is being stretched out wide to receive more. More of the blessing, more of the finest of the wheat into the sack. So the delay is God is stretching things, stretching out our desires to receive more of the blessing. And again, focus upon the names of God, the works of God, the promises of God, and pray and continue and ask in his name. Lord, increase our faith. Remember the King Joash. He came to visit the sick prophet. Elisha said to him, take out your bow and arrows. You're going to conquer the Syrians. So shoot these arrows. And he took them out and he shot three times. And then he stopped. Now, how many arrows were in the quiver? Probably five or six. I was told by someone that would be the usual number of arrows that the quiver held. Well, there were still quivers in his arrow. Why didn't he keep shooting till it was all gone? Let there be an empty quiver. Keep shooting out the arrows of prayer till we see our great need and God is able to grant the blessing. And that's what Elisha told him, that you should have shot all the arrows, because now you'll just have a partial victory. If you had shot out all the arrows, you would have had a complete victory. So pray earnestly. The more earnest prayer, the more we can expect the blessing. God opening the windows of heaven so that there would not be room enough to receive the blessing. Well, now, there are some who we fear do not even have a mouth spiritually to receive the blessing. And you might be saying, well, how can I receive grace when I don't have a mouth, when I'm not converted, when I'm not born again? Well, let's put it this way. You have no excuse because you do have a door to your heart. So we might say, yes, you do have a mouth after all, but it's a closed mouth as well as a closed door. The Lord Jesus says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So there's a door to your heart. There is a mouth to your soul, but it's closed, it's locked. And you need divine power to open the door, to open the mouth. And that's simply to say that you need your understanding opened. You need your will renewed. But the fact is, you do have an understanding. You do have a will. And what are you, rational, personal, responsible agent, doing? God created you as a rational, responsible, accountable being. And what are you doing? You're turning your back on God. And everyone who is unconverted is doing that. We're all in that situation by nature until the saving grace of God. But it doesn't take away our responsibility. And you are held accountable for your continued rebellion against God if you continue. And can only expect, when you die like that, to be ushered into the blackness of darkness forever. What am I to do, you might say? Well, you need to cry to God. Open your mouth in real earnest cries to God. Lift up your voice. God says, make you a new heart. You are responsible to turn to him. You say, I cannot make myself a new heart. But he says, make you a new heart. But then he also promises, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And that's a promise that you are to take in prayer and plead with God. Here's a promise, Lord. Thou wilt give sinners a new heart. I've got this promise in my hand. Oh, Lord, hear me for this promise' sake and for Christ's sake, because thou hast said all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Don't hear me, Lord, because of anything that I have done, but hear me, Lord, because of Christ who died for sinners. And because of thy own promise to give a new heart, O Lord, let me be one of those sinners that receives a new heart for Christ's sake. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. O Lord, open my mouth. Show me myself. I'm a black sinner. I have disobeyed thy law. I deserve thy curse. I deserve the blackness of darkness forever. I'm all black, but Lord, thou canst make me white. Thou canst cover me with the righteousness of Christ. Thou canst wash me in his blood. Show me thyself and thy grace. Show me the precious Savior. And so what are you doing? You're praying that you'll see your need. You're praying that you'll have a desire. You're praying that you'll be ready, that you would have a wide open mouth to receive grace, to receive Christ and his salvation. Friend, you should be like the little birds that are chirping and they're longing for the mother bird to come and feed them. They're squeaking and they're chirping with wide open beaks. And you should be praying as never before with a wide open mouth in prayer. Lord, grant the blessing. Save my soul. Because the Lord Jesus is able to save you. Remember the poor man who was lowered down. The roof itself was being opened up. And the man who was paralyzed was lowered down into the room before Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Pharisees said, this man blasphemes. How can anyone but God forgive sins? Well, they were right. Only God can forgive sins. But they were wrong. He was not blaspheming because he was God. And he says, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He has power to forgive your sins. But not only power. What else does he have? Not only ability, but he has willingness. He is willing to receive sinners, willing to bestow the blessing, willing to forgive your sins. Come to him, receiving his salvation. He is able and willing and ready to forgive and to save all that call upon him. So, friend, open your mouth and he will fill it. Take this bread of life because it's for sinners. The Lord Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, whoever that man is, if you take this bread of life, Jesus himself, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That's why he came. He came to give himself to be the bread for your soul and mine, if we will only receive it, to give it to sinners like you and me. Yes, he came to save sinners. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So, as Rabbi Duncan said to that woman who was weeping at the table of the Lord, as she saw the bread coming her way, that was a symbol of Christ's body in the symbol, and she kept weeping. She just thought herself too unworthy. She's just a sinner. How can she receive the symbol of the body of Christ? And Rabbi Duncan said, take it, woman. It's for sinners. And here's the precious gospel. Here's the bread of life. Here's Christ crucified. Take it, sinner. He is for sinners. He offers himself to you freely in the everlasting gospel. Come and receive it. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. May he bless his word. Let us pray.